In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a call-ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. O you who have been my help, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Gracious to me and answer me. O you who have been my help, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Worship you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you good things that surpass all understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you, that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 19. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." And when Elijah heard this, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Israel. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12. Elisha passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 3. "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to you this you were called, for you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil to do good, and to seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. That's how Simon Peter responds to Jesus' instruction to put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon Peter is correct in what he said. He's not lying to Jesus. For he and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, had worked all night on the Lake of Gennesaret trying to catch fish. And after that futile night of fishing, they were now on shore cleaning their gear. And that's what Jesus had seen them doing. For on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. But as we heard in today's gospel reading, Jesus had begun to reshape matters on that day along the Lake of Gennesaret. First off, he repurposes one of the boats. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Jesus asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Since he was being pressed in by the crowds who had come to hear him, Jesus finds a creative way to make some space. He turns Simon Peter's boat into an expansion of that outdoor worship space so that the boat becomes a new pulpit annex from which Jesus can teach the people, and Jesus doesn't end up being shoved into the lake, which I'm sure he appreciated. But Jesus wasn't finished with repurposing things on that day. Because after turning that boat into a pulpit, Jesus then begins to give a new purpose to the boat's owner. And that would involve Simon Peter learning about Jesus' authority and being directed to act according to that authority. The gospel writer Luke tells us that when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And that's when Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. So what happened there in the middle of the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, as we often call it? Simon Peter learns that Jesus has control over all things. He learns that this man who had come to his hometown was not simply a teacher like one of the scribes traveling around Galilee. Rather, this man in his boat is God in the flesh, even if his appearance didn't initially reveal that. And this is what Simon Peter reacts to. That when Simon Peter saw it, I mean, seeing everything that had now transpired at Jesus' word, you know, lowering the nets and then pulling up so much fish that everyone was in hazard of being sunk because too much fish in the boat. When he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." We're told everyone was astonished. Not only Peter was learning that, but also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus performs this miraculous demonstration to fulfill an objective. He repurposes Simon Peter. as well as James and John, giving them a new vocation. As Jesus says to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Their calling was no longer to cast nets into the Lake of Gennesaret to catch fish to be sold in Galilean markets. Instead, Jesus would use these men to bring other men and women into the kingdom of God. And that purpose would define their lives from that day forward. So how would this catching men be done by Peter and James and John? Well, we read at the end of Luke's gospel how Jesus gives them orders of what they are going to do, how this would happen. That thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. And then we can read in the Acts of the Apostles how those orders were carried out, beginning with Jesus telling them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." But we can ask, how did that activity go? Was it a successful activity? Well, when we read in the Acts of the Apostles, we can find out that sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. People hear the witness of Jesus that was given by Peter, James, and John, and some of the people receive it with gladness, and other people reject it and even try to quash it. We're told that at Pentecost, when their work as being catchers of men begins, that those who received Peter's word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. It's an amazing statement. But how many more thousands in Jerusalem ignored Peter's word or even condemned it? And then what started in Jerusalem would be repeated in locations around the world, as Jesus said, in Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. And yet the command of Jesus remained the same for these apostles, even if they worked all night and took nothing. But at his direction, they would let down the nets of that witness over and over and over again. For such is the life of those who are called to be fishers of men, like Simon Peter is. And there was no guarantee from Jesus that those nets would always be full of people caught up by that witness that they bore. But so it is when the Lord calls people into his service. For we can recall the example of Elijah that we heard about in today's Old Testament reading, that the Lord has this prophet Elijah, a very bold prophet Elijah. But where does the Lord find Elijah in today's Old Testament reading? He finds his bold prophet hiding in a cave. Elijah thinking that he had really good reason to hide in that cave. And we might even agree with him. "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts," he says. "For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away." Elijah had preached the Lord's word. He had confronted King Ahab. He had challenged the false prophets of Baal. But how successful had Elijah been? Had there been great repentance, great conversion in Israel? We can read the record and say, not really. And then we find out in this confrontation that the Lord has with his prophet that the Lord's word will not appear outwardly powerful like a strong wind or earthquake or fire, but at times will be like the sound of a low whisper. And yet that same Lord tells Elijah, keep working. That's my command to you. Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place, and the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Elijah's purpose was determined by the Lord's word. And his calling was to carry out the Lord's commands, even if it felt like lowering the nets again after an unsuccessful night of fishing. And that same principle applies to each one of us, no matter the vocations that we have been called into. Now, it might be simpler to see that principle in play for Elijah or Peter or the church workers in our present day, because they all have commands to be catching men using what the Lord Jesus instituted. They are to use the preaching of the divine word and to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to absolve individuals who confess their sins, and to distribute the Holy Supper that commemorates his death, and to offer counsel and prayer to those who seek guidance and help. Those are the nets that have been given. But they don't always result in a catch that threatens to sink the boat. And yet, Christ's command remains the same. At his word, those nets are to be lowered. And that principle of doing things as at Christ's command is also true for the vocation of the hearers of that word. Because those nets that are used for catching men are how you have been made part of the kingdom of God and how you are kept within that kingdom. There is to be faith and trust placed in those actions being the way that the great gifts of forgiveness and eternal life and salvation that Jesus' death and resurrection acquired, that's how those great gifts are provided to you. It's how you are brought even into the presence of the holy God, who does not dismiss you despite your sinfulness, but instead says, don't be afraid, and even calls you to work for him. And that's true. Even when others around you encounter the same message, encounter that same gospel of Christ, and are not brought into discipleship. But you have been. Additionally, we have other vocations that the Lord has called us into. We've been called to be good citizens, or to be devout spouses, or responsible parents, or diligent employees, and so on. And all those vocations come with divinely assigned duties and responsibilities, which means they all have God's word tied to them. Each one of them has commands issued by the Lord to be carried out. Each one of them has their own nets that God established, which are to be lowered at his command, regardless of what results we might expect or encounter. That is part of our Christian obedience, as we recognize that we are under divine rule in all aspects of our lives. And so we are to be zealous for these vocations that the Lord establishes for us, because they are His ways, and His ways are good. But that evaluation is not based on the reactions that others may offer in response to seeing us carrying out those vocations. Remember how Peter exhorted the Christians like you and me, in today's epistle reading, that exhortation that should also guide how we act in this world. He says to them, and says to us who read it centuries later, "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." Doing what is good has God's command. Regarding Christ the Lord as holy has God's command. Speaking about the hope that's been created in us because of Christ's work has God's command. And we are to be zealous for such things. Not doing them in a, "Well, Lord, I guess you said I should do so" way. But rather, being driven by a devotion to the one who has created us and who has redeemed us and who has made us his holy people, part of his kingdom. And the one who has control and mastery over all things says, "This is what I have called you to do. And I want you to be devoted to what I declare to be good, because it is good for you." We prayed for that type of devotion in today's collect at the beginning of the service, when we asked God, "Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire." We've been repurposed by Christ for that. We have been caught up by the nets that were lowered to bring us into the kingdom of God. And we have been taken from being opponents to God and opponents of his will to people who carry out his commands and rely on his promises. We have been called to receive divine blessing. We even have Christ's declaration spoken to us. Don't be afraid. So we can look at all that he has assigned to us. Everything. All the aspects of our life that has God's rule in it. And then we can say every day to him, even when the results don't seem impressive, but knowing that he does indeed have lordship over all things, "Master, at your word, I will let down the nets." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us together make confession of our faith. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God of hosts, in every generation you preserve a remnant who have not bowed their knees to the false gods of this world. By your Spirit, keep us faithful to you and grant repentance to those who have fallen away. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, since your foolishness is wiser than men's wisdom and your weakness stronger than men's strength, give all preachers and hearers delight in the folly of Christ crucified, in whom the fullness of divine power and wisdom are hidden. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, give us faith to let down the nets of your word in our daily vocations and trust your Son to do his gracious work through poor sinners like us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, bless Jim, Wendy, Michael, Lucia, Lucille, Nancy, Jocelyn, Richard, David, Pendo, Michelle, Adam, Laura, Edwin, Renee, Juanita, Jason, Helen, Richard, Sherry, Dave, Reynolds, Marianne, Michael, Angelina, John, Lynn, Jesse, and all who suffer in body or mind. Since Christ is at their right hand, they cannot be shaken. Make their flesh dwell securely, and give them peace in the promise that you will not abandon their souls to Sheol. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, your Son is our chosen portion and our cup, forgiving and nourishing us with his body and blood. Grant that we may receive him humbly and in faith, that you may hold our lot secure in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, bless all who suffer for righteousness' sake and keep them in Christ from fearing or being troubled by those who persecute them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, never depart from us. Though we are unworthy of you and your bounty, you are pleased to receive our meager thanks and reluctant obedience for the sake of Christ's perfect obedience. Let your word rule us and your Spirit revive us, to leave behind pride and anxiety, that we may follow you in all that we do. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name of the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, for the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
in the peace of the Lord.
Amen.
Body of Christ, given to you. The true blood of Christ, shed for you. The heart of Jesus. Body of Christ, given to you. Body of Christ, given to you. Body of Christ given to freedom. Your body of Christ given to freedom. Your body of Christ given to freedom. The true blood of Christ shed for you. Your body of Christ given for you. The true blood of Christ given for you. Your body of Christ given for you. Your body of Christ given for you. Your body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ to give you free of the true blood of Christ. The mighty and merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and watch your grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Body of Christ, give
body of Christ given for you. Your body of Christ given for you. Your body of Christ.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Let us pray Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you.
May he send you help from the sanctuary and give support from Zion.
May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans.
May we shout for joy over your salvation. Our God, set up our hands. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions.
Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God.
They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
Let your priests be clothed with righteousness,
and let your saints shout for joy.
Lord, keep this nation under your care,
and guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
And the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
And let my cry come to you.
Lord God of hosts, ruler of all nations, we thank you for the blessings you have bestowed upon these United States of America and her people for 250 years. We pray that you would grant her good and wise government and sustain her in peace and security, especially so that your holy gospel may be confessed openly and received gladly by her people. Bless the celebrations of this milestone, that they may unite our country as a people and cause us to renew our commitment to the public good. Let all Christians give respect, honor, and love where each is due, as servants of Christ in this world, whose eternal citizenship is in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, you have given us this good land as our heritage. Grant that we remember your generosity and constantly do your will. Bless our land with honest industry, truthful education, and an honorable way of life. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion. from pride and arrogance, and from every evil course of action. Grant that we, who came from many nations with many different languages, may become a united people. Support us in defending our liberties, and give those to whom we have entrusted the authority of government the spirit of wisdom, that there may be justice and peace in our land. When times are prosperous, may our hearts be thankful, and in troubled times, do not let our trust in you fail. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord of the nations, guide our people by your Spirit to go forward in justice and freedom. Give us what outward prosperity may be your will, but above all things, give us faith in you, that our nation may bring glory to your name and blessings to all people. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.